give the money. Bring the money. Like 5, 10, different I can give
في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها مريحا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
We will change the topic for a few days and we'll talk about أهل البيت عليهم السلام a little bit and then as we go, I'll let you know what the topics are going to be. The saying that we have regarding the description of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and one of the reports that has been quoted by our sixth Imam, he says that أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ هُوَ أَفْضَلُ بَعْدَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ. When someone inquires the Imam, that after you've got that ma'rifah, that knowing what is the best of a'mal, what is the best of actions. In reply, Imam says, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ يَعْدِلُ هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ. That is, after that ma'rifah, there is nothing which can be a match and a parallel to this prayers that you offer. Now exactly, it's the logo of Al-Wilaya, if you have ever noticed it. It's the same hadith, but in a different interpretation. And then it says that وَلَا بَعْدَ الْمَعْرِفَةِ. And there is nothing after ma'rifah that could be a match and a parallel to zakat. And after that, Imam says that وَلَا بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ شَيْءٌ يَعْدِلُ الصَّوْمِ. There is nothing after that could be a match and a parallel to Sawm, which is fasting, and after that says, nothing can be like Hajj. And finally, Imam says, وَفَاتِحَةُ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ مَعْرِفَتُنَا وَخَاتِمَتُهُ مَعْرِفَتُنَا. That the opening of everything is the ma'rifat of Ahlul Bayt, that is, you know them. And the closing again is that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So in reality, you have to know them. If it is prayers, if it is fast, if it is soap, if it is hajj, all that is there, it's good. But fore and foremost, it is the ma'rifah and knowing and acquaintance with Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So, that is, we have to know them first of all, who they are. And when we talk about Ahlul Bayt, what are they? Who are they? It is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Let me quote this hadith from the Prophet himself. When he was asked who these Ahlul Bayt are, says, قِيلَ فَمَنْ أَهْلُ بَيْتِكَ يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهِ. Says, قَالَ عَلِيٌّ وَسِبْتَايٌ وَتِسْعَةٌ مِنْ بُلْدِيَ الْحُسَيْنِ أَئِمَّةٌ أُمَنَاهُ مَعْصُومٌ. That is, it is Ali, it is the 9 descendants from Ali, and it is Zahra, and it is Rasulullah himself. That the 14 that we say, they are the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This is one. Quran, it talks about 3 facts and 3 realities. And that is, there are 3 things which play an important part in our guidance, which help us especially in elevation and our spiritual uplifting. First of all, it's the time factor. Then it is the place factor. And third, it is human beings. Now what do we want to say over here? It is that sometimes we find that among all of these creations that Allah has, among the time for example, it is not as such that everything is equal. You've got different months, you've got different days, you've got different occasions. Some days, some months, some occasions, they are better than the others. Amongst all of the months that Allah has, the best of the months is the month of Ramadan. Amongst the days, the best of the days is Friday. The same thing among the nights, the best of nights is Laylatul Qadr. That is, if someone does something during these important occasions or these hot spots, we could say that, says the elevation is huge, that a person benefits a lot. And again, says Ma'soom, that there is a rank which is Maqam, which is Rafi', which is A'la, a person can get to it. Now, how can he get to those ranks, to those high positions? So we have to see when these important occasions are, and based upon that knowledge of yours, we try and elevate ourselves on those occasions. Again, the same thing can be seen with these places that Allah has on this earth. It says that among all these different places, there are some places that have that great dignity, that sanctity. Among them, it's Masjid al-Haram. Among them, it's this Kaaba. It says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا. The best of houses, the first of houses that Allah had built, that is in Mecca, that Allah has made. What is that? هُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ, a guidance to mankind. And regarding this house, Allah says that whosoever comes to this house of mine, knowing the sanctity of that, لَمْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ مَكَّةَ إِلَّا وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ ذُنُوبًا, that he will not come out of Mecca, but that Allah has forgiven him. That he comes to Mecca, he sees the noble house, visits that Kaaba, with that prior ma'rifah, that knowledge he has, that this house belongs to Allah, who Allah is. Who made that house? You've got that knowledge of prophethood, that concept of guidance is there. With that prior ma'rifah, we come to that house, Allah says, you visit that place, and when you go back, all of your sins will be forgiven. وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ ذُنُوبَ وَكَفَى اللَّهُ مَا, and whatsoever he wants from among the needs and requirements of this dunya and akhirah, all of that would be given to that individual just because of that one visit to that sacred place, which is Kaaba. Or sometimes he says that when you go to Kaaba, to Masjid al-Haram, the best etiquette that can be observed over there is that you perform a tawaf. That is 7 rounds around Kaaba. That is the best tahiyyat, that is the best respect you can give to God. Then says, if you were not well enough, or you didn't have that mood, and you couldn't do that, tawaf, says, perform namaz, offer as many prayers you can. If you don't feel like performing any prayers, Quran, if you don't feel like reciting Quran, Allah says, just sit and look at my house, do nothing. Just look at my house, and for that huge rewards are mentioned in the teachings of Ahlul Bayt. He says that 100,000 favors, special favors, will be downpoured upon you. 100,000 sins of yours will be forgiven just for that one glance, one look you have to that Kaaba. That is what Allah says. Now what we see today is that these shayateen, what they have done with all this loud talk that we have from Allah and from Ma'soomin, the architecture of that mosque is as such, they've got so many arches, beams and pillars that you can hardly see Kaaba from inside Masjid al-Haram. So it's only one or two spots where you can sit and look at Kaaba. Otherwise it's all these fountains and all these water fountains and pillars that do not allow you to look at the Kaaba. That is how Shaitan works again. Shaitan, he's in different forms and formats. Sometimes we have Shaitans in the forms of humans who do all this notorious conspiracies. So, says here that you look at Kaaba, that's another place. And sometimes says that some places are exalted, like Masjid al-Kufa. like the sacred shrines of Masumin, and in particular, the shrine of Abadullah in Kerala. And for Abadullah, he is an exception. Says that this heaven that we are all waiting for, and which will be checked in after the Day of Judgment, that heaven was created by the Noor and the light of Abadullah. Another little tip for you, brothers and sisters over here, is that when it is time for prayers, although we are permitted to say them on a piece of paper, on a piece of wood, on leaves, etc., on grass, but nothing can be a match to the dust of the grave of Abadullah. Hadith says, and it is one of those strong reports that we have from our sixth Imam, he says that one sajda performed on that clay, on this qurbat sajda al-mohr of Abadullah, when you just put your forehead on that clay, it enlightens the earth, seven layers of it. Enlightens the sky, seven layers up to the heavens, towards the throne. Just that one sajda that is performed on that dust and the clay of the grave of Abadullah al-Husayn.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So there are some times that are beautiful, that are elevated, some places that are exalted. And again, among those occasions that sometimes we find that our heart, it breaks. That too is among those occasions when du'as, they are accepted. We have to look into and search for these occasions that where we can find them. In Quran, we've got this ayah which says that وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ. That is, during the time of the Holy Prophet, in the Battle of Tabuk, Rasulullah, he asks the Muslims that tomorrow morning we have to set off for this battle. There were some among them, it's Ka'b ibn Malik, Murarat ibn Rabi, and Hilal ibn Umayyah. They have a meeting together. They say that what is this? Day in, day out, Rasulullah wants us to fight. We have to go on for this jihad. This time we won't go, we won't join him. Rasulullah, he instructs all of the Muslims that tomorrow morning you have to be there and that is the meeting point. They say, okay, but they did not go. The arrangement with the three they had, that we will not be going there. And if he says, we see that, okay, we have this, these farms to look after, and for that reason we will not be joining. And it so happens that Rasulullah, with his troops, he goes to that battle of Tabuk, and they had a lot of, they saw a lot of problems due to the absence of these three men. And when they come back, Rasulullah says that the entire community, that all of the Muslims in Medina, they have to break ties with these three men. No association with them, no buying, no selling, no contact at all. So everyone broke ties with them. Now their wives, all of the good people, the wives of these three men, they come to Rasulullah and say that you have asked the entire community to break ties with them. We are their wives. How can we have no contact with them, no association? For us not to have any association with them, you are the Prophet. Pronounce our divorce so that we are separated from them. Rasulullah says that is not required at the moment. Have no contact with them. When they saw that it's desperate, tough to live and no one having any contact, they, in search of tawbah, they seek refuge in the mountains outside Medina. For 50 days on the mountains, nothing happens. All crying, pleading, asking Allah to forgive this grave sin, and that sin was disobedience to Rasulullah. That is, he said, come, and they did not come. Plus, all that loss they saw, the problems they had faced in that battle. Now, after 50 days, among them, this Ka'b ibn Malik is the smartest person. He says, it seems as if Allah doesn't want us three also to be together. We have to separate. They separate, so each one of them in a different direction, and again they seek refuge in the mountains, repent, plead and cry. And after a few days, they find that the people of Medina, they rush towards the mountains, welcoming them back to Medina. That is when Jibreel, he descends, reveals to Rasulullah that Allah, he has forgiven them, and they have been forgiven. So there are occasions that come across in everyone's life that we have to be smart enough to see what those occasions are and ask Allah to forgive us. So among those best occasions is this month of Ramadan, especially fast approaching, are these nights of Qadr. And the most the dua that we have to have on the hit list is that Allah forgives us. At the moment we are forgiven, all those bounties and favors will automatically downpour upon us. And for this reason, we, the best associate of ours who would be a helper of ours, are Ma'sumeen alayhimus salam, as it was mentioned that their ma'rifah is the most. In another report, we find that ma'rifatu Ali Muhammadin bara'atun minan nar. That is, you know Ali Muhammad, that is, you recognize them, says that will be a means of your forgiveness from that fire. وَحُبُّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ جَوَازٌ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. You love them, that would be a permit for you to cross and to pass over that sirat in the hereafter. وَالْوَلَايَةُ لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ أَمَامٌ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. You love them, you accept them as your custodians, says that would be the protection from every horror and every chastisement of the Day of Judgment. Or elsewhere, our Imam, he says that أَثْبَتُكُمْ قَدَمًا عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ أَشَدُّكُمْ حُبًّا لِأَهْلِ بَيْتِي. That is, if you want to be firm on that sirat, sirat is that bridge. The definition of that sirat in riwayat, we have that it's so fine, it's so thin. It's thinner than a hair, it's sharper than a sword. And we have to cross from that sirat. For a mu'mineen, it is said that those who were good, it wouldn't take as long as it took for them to say their wajib prayers. How long it took for them, that will be the time it would take for them to pass and cross over that bridge. It doesn't mean that we have to be fast in saying our prayers so that we can pass that fast. Because one of the children in one of these majalis, he said, so we have to say our prayers really fast, so we have to pass that bridge quickly. That is not being mentioned over here. So you say, take your time, say your prayers properly. Says that someone who has the most love towards Ahlul Bayt, أَشَدُّكُمْ حُبًّا لِأَهْلِ بَيْتِي, is the one who will be firm on that path, on that sirat. Or says that مَعْرِفَةُ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ بَرَاعَةٌ مِنَ النَّارِ وَحُبُّ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ جَوَازٌ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ وَالْبِلَايَةُ لِآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ أَمَانٌ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ. It will be a protection for you from all the horrors and the chastisements in the hereafter. The topic that I have for tonight, it's the importance of salawat that we recite upon Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. What does it mean? What effects it has? And salawat means we are asking Allah to send salutations. It is translated as bless. Bless, it's a very weak meaning for that. And again, if you look into the du'as that we have, for example, Sahih al-Sajjadiyya, Imam, every du'a he opens with a salawat. Some of the du'as like Makarib al-Akhlaq, like Munajat Shahbaniyya, every few phrases you have a salawat. And again, when it comes to the recitation of salawat, it has to be a complete salawat. That is, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And if you don't mention that ala Muhammad in that salawat, it is going to be null and void. It is as if no salawat has been recited. Man lam yusalli alayhim la salat lahu. And again, When it comes to your prayers and you recite your prayers in tashahhud, you recite a salawat. That is wajib. If you forget to recite that salawat, or if you don't recite it properly or completely, that namaz also is batil. It has to be repeated. You cannot make it over. You have to repeat that namaz. Here, there is a dua which our fourth Imam, he quote says that Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. That is, Allah send your salutation upon Muhammad and his progeny. How much salawat? Says fi kulli waqtin wa kulli awan. At every time, and then wa ala kulli hal, no matter what the circumstances are, send your salutations upon them. How many? Says adad ma sallayta ala man sallayta alayh. That is, the number should be the number of those who have sent salutations on the Prophet, as many as all of them. How many? That is, they cannot be counted. وَأَدْعَاكَ ذَلِكَ. Not only that, but multiply it by many folds. And then says, أَلَّكِ لَا يُحْسِيهَا غَيْرُكَ. And that so many salawats upon them, no one but you can count them. إِنَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا تُرِيدُ. Indeed, you can do as you wish. That is regarding salawat. How Imams send salutations upon Rasul and his household. The Ummah, our sixth Imam, Sadiq alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Says that when you are reminded of the Prophet, not only when someone mentions his name, even if you are in your prayers, you are reminded of the Prophet, send salawat upon the Prophet. That is among those exceptions, no matter where in prayer. That is, after your takbiratul ihram and before your salam, wherever in your prayer you are reminded of Ahlul Bayt, you can send salawat upon them anytime in the prayer.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Here, Imam says that man salla ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi salat and wahida. That if you just recite one salawat upon the Prophet, says, sallallahu alayhi alf saffin min al malaika. That is, Allah will send salutations upon the Prophet. How many? 1,000 rows of angels, they will send salutations. وَلَمْ يَبْقَ شَيْءٌ. And no one in this great creation of Allah would remain, but that all of them will send salutations on him, including the salutations of the angels. And then says, someone who sends not the salutations upon the Prophet is an ignorant person, and he is maghroor, and he will be at loss. So the more salawats you send upon him, it is you yourself who will benefit, because all of these angels, thousands of them in millions of them in thousands of rows, all of them will send salutations, and it is you who will be benefiting from all of those salawats that are sent upon Rasulullah.
Salawat bar Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali.
That says that when you send salawat upon the Prophet, what does it mean? It means that Allah, we are requesting him to send his special mercy. Now what is that special mercy? No one knows. Because we believe, Quran says that Rasulullah himself is rahmatun lil alameen. He is mercy to the entire, all the creation. When he himself is mercy, when we ask Allah to send mercy upon him, what kind of mercy? We don't know. So there is something more than that we are asking Allah to be sent to him. When we ask Allah to send those salutations upon him, from Allah it is mercy. From the angels it is purification. And when mu'mineen ask Allah to send those salawats, they are du'as from mu'mineen asking Allah. So that again, now salat in Arabic, it is tahiyyat, meaning honor. It's a mercy with honor. So paying respect and special honoring. And that is, that mercy includes non-humans and beings with no intellect as well. So animals also do get their share of mercy, which they understand. But none of these salats that we talk about are that special salam that we ask Allah to send upon the Prophet. So wishing salam to someone, it is respecting him. Now in our day-to-day life, we find that even when you want to wish someone, sometimes you find that they remove their hat and they wish. Or sometimes they place their hands on their chest, or sometimes they do it that way. That is again a way how they extend their honor and greetings to that individual. And there are many other ways. So in every language you have got a different way of extending and asking or showing your gratitude to that individual. Salam means that well-wishing and peace, salamati as they say. Or we are asking Allah to send peace to that individual for his well-being. So when you say salamun alaykum to someone, it is I assure you peace and safety. So regardless of who that person is, whenever you say salamun alaykum to someone, you are asking Allah for his well-being. So when you say salawat, it is that highest or that upgraded version of salam that we ask Allah to be sent to the Prophet in the best form, that is that salawat. In Arabic, salat is that perfect, that upgraded version of salam, and it has a continuity in rank higher than tahiyyat, the Almighty, when he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُسَلِّمُونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ, that Allah and the angels, both of them, they send these salutations upon the Prophet. So when that is, when he and the Prophets, they send, the angels, they send, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Send these salutations upon the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, it isn't as such that they benefit so much from it. If you look into this Ziyarat Jama'at al-Kabira, there we read that وَجَعْلَ صَلَاتِنَا عَلَيْكُمْ وَمَا خَسَّنَا بِهِ مِنْ بِلَايَتِكُمْ طِيبًا لِخَلْقِنَا. That is, we send salutations upon Rasulullah and his household, but what happens is that we get purified, we get cleaned. وَالْتَهَارَةً لِأَنفُسِنَا, and our nafs and our souls, they get purified as a result of that salawat which we recite upon the Holy Prophet. A person, an old Jew, he comes to Rasulullah and he says that, Ya Rasulullah, are you more exalted or is it Prophet Musa who is more exalted? In reply, then he says that to Prophet Musa, Allah gave him that Tawrat. He gave him that stick. And those clouds, they always shaded Prophet Musa all the time. Is he more exalted or are you greater than him? In reply, Rasulullah says that I don't want to be proud, nor do I want to boast. But in reality, Prophet Adam, when he was punished, he repented as such, that Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqqi Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad maghfirati. That is, Allah by Muhammad and his progeny, forgive me. And then says, when Prophet Nuh feared drowning in that sea, in that flooding, he again says the same, Allahumma inni as'aluka بِحَقِّ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ لَمَّا أَنْجَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْغَرَقِ. Let Allah, you protect me from drowning. How? By Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad. Or again, the same thing is seen with Prophet Ibrahim, that when he was being thrown in that fire, Prophet Ibrahim says, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ. That is, Allah, I ask you by Muhammad and his progeny that protect me from being burnt in that fire. And the same thing that he says, you're asking me or Musa. Prophet Musa, whenever he got scared, he threw his stick, he again said the same thing, Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqqi Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad, save me. So now he says, you tell me, am I greater or Prophet Musa?
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
And then he says that when Prophet Musa got scared, he threw that stick and he said those verses, it was then that Allah revealed to him, لا تخف إنك أنت الأعلى. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. So salawat is important. For example, again, if you look into Quran, says that when you want to be patient, recite salawat. You want to be enlightened, recite salawat. You want to be relaxed and tranquil, recite salawat. So all these benefits have been mentioned for the recitation of salawat, and that too upon Muhammad, Quran and Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Again mentions that by the recitation of salawat, hypocrisy is removed. If there is this nifaq in an individual, Ma'soom says recite salawat as much as you can, that nifaq in us will be removed. If you've lost something, recite salawat, you will find it. If you are drowned in temptation, says recite salawat, you will find it. And again, there is this beautiful hadith, because tomorrow is the birthday of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi
Muhammad. Imam says that this heart that Allah has given to us, it is like a vessel. And then says this vessel has a lid on it. And whenever the lid of this vessel is opened, that heart, it is enlightened. Imam says, whenever you recite one salawat, that lid, it opens, heart gets enlightened. And if you don't recite those salawat, that lid, it gets rusted. And a time comes that the lid never opens and a person's heart will never be enlightened. And then Imam says, if you want to be enlightened all the time, and if you want that lid of your heart to be lubricant and in motion all the time, that WD-40 for that is salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And again, we have amazing riwayat. We say that by the recitation of salawat, you will be fragranced. You will possess a beautiful fragrance. Reporting from the study circle of marhum Imam Khomeini, there was a person. They say that this person, whenever he passed in the streets, he possessed a beautiful fragrance. It was as such that whenever he came to someone's house, he didn't need to knock the door. That beautiful fragrance of his made the people know that who that person at the door is, and they knew who he was. One of these students, he says that I wanted to ask him, and I asked him once, that what is this? The fragrance you wear, it is not from this dunya. It is something special which cannot be found here. Can tell me the secret of it. He says, okay. Now, in every community you have people who recite a lot of Quran. Some recite a lot of namaz. Some are different who have all of these different azkar they recite. The beauty of this person was that he recited a lot of salawats.
Loud salawat!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And then he says that in one of the visions I saw Rasulullah in a majlis, and there were a number of people, 50, 70 present in him. Rasulullah poses a question, says that who among you recites the most salawat upon me? He says, I do recite, but there might be someone else in this majlis who recites more than me. Based upon that, he didn't answer. For the second time, Rasulullah inquires, for the second time, with the same answer in mind, I sat down. Third time, he inquires, third time, I sat down. Now, Rasulullah, he stands from his place, comes to this person and kisses him. Says, as a result of that kiss of Rasulullah, I was blessed with this fragrance, and that too for the recitation of salawat, ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So salawat has that beautiful effect, and it's among those a'mal which is the weightiest, the heaviest in the scale of balance on the Day of Judgment. Here again, I think I did mention it. Doesn't matter. Reminders are good. Says on the Day of Judgment, the instructions given to Malik are that Whoever comes forward whenever the aman are placed on the scale of balance and you find them heavy, the heaven has to be directed to him. And if it was light, it is that hell. He says that a person comes, aman are placed on that scale of balance, and based upon the instructions, the hell is assigned to that person. Rasulullah is by the balance, by that mizan. He says he puts his hand into his pocket, takes out an envelope and places it on that balance, on that mizan. And it is heavy now. According to the instructions, Jannah, the heaven, is assigned to this person. He asks Rasulullah, what was that you placed in that mizan, in that balance, which resulted this person end up in the heaven? Rasulullah says that these salawat that are recited upon me and my progeny, they are credited into a special account. And on the day of need, and that is the day of judgment, all of those salawats will be paid back to that individual, and that is the heaviest thing in the action, in the scale of action of an individual.
Last salawat!
Rasulullah, he says that As-salatu alayya nurun ala sirat, that you send salutations upon me, that will be that torch, that will guide you on that sirat. وَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ عَلَيَّ السِّرَاطِ وَمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ عَلَى السِّرَاطِ النُّورِ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. And someone who possesses that torch, that nur, on that sirat, in the hereafter, fire will be abandoned on that individual. So again, that light, that torch which will guide us, help us, and into the heaven, is that salawat upon Muhammad wa al Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa al Muhammad.
Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiyul alim. Ilahi, bihaqq az-zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawda' fiha 10 times. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. There are many who have requested for dua present in this majlis, away from this majlis. There are many who are ill, who are ailing, who have requested for dua. There are many who are afflicted with problems, with balas, with mushkilats. There are many Muslims worldwide, especially our brothers, who are fighting for their rights. May Allah grant them every goodness that every noble asks from Allah, and all that we ask from Allah, every good of them, a share of that, be sent to our marhumeen. May Allah elevate their ranks, and for all of them, 3 love salawats.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
If you have any questions, I'm here for a few minutes. Okay, a Fatiha for all marhumeen.